Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors public hearing. It's scheduled for July 18th, 2023. That's this evening for 6 p.m. This is the Governor's Crossing conditional use application number 2022-06. This is a continuation of many hearings we've held in this regard. Just a couple of housekeeping announcements before I turn it over to our solicitor, Mr. Nelson, to sort of begin. As you know, Mr. Nelson sort of runs the proceedings so the board can listen to the testimony from all sides. Although it's posted in the meeting room at various locations in the room, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. So everybody, for those that have been here for the duration, they have done a fantastic job with this. If you haven't been here throughout all of these hearings, if at any point you're speaking, you have to come to the microphone. You have to identify yourself by first name, last name, spell your last name if necessary, and then you can speak. If the parties don't have to do that, but if you're a member of the public during public comment, etc., please follow those simple rules. Only keep in mind that all of these meetings are audio taped. So it's not just that the stenographer is taking minutes. We can only have one person speaking at any one time. It's difficult for the stenographer to identify who's saying what if we're speaking over each other. And for the folks that listen to the audio meeting minutes and tomorrow or the next day, it's equally or maybe more difficult for them to understand what's happening in the room and who's speaking. So we try to do this as orderly as possible. For the parties, feel free, if you're questioning witnesses, to position the table up here and the podium in a way that's comfortable for you to have your materials in front of you and to be speaking to witnesses and asking questions. So don't feel like you have to keep the room exactly the same. We want you to be comfortable. I recognize with the attorneys present, they have lots of paper. It's too difficult to just merely stand at the podium and have your file in front of you and ask questions. So we want everybody to be comfortable. We will take a break. Typically, these meetings have been scheduled for 3 hours. I expect that's the time frame I expect we'll be here tonight. Maybe it'll be shorter. I don't know, but we will take a break at 7:30 p.m. We'll take a 10-minute break at 7:30 for everybody to stand up, walk around, do whatever they need to do for that 10 minutes, and then we'll come back and try to start right up at 7:40, and we'll go to right about 9 o'clock. So I think that's about all the housekeeping announcements I have. Mr. Crotto is not present tonight. We'll do a roll call, but he is on vacation and indicating we knew as much at the last time. As some of you know, it's been very difficult scheduling these hearings in a compressed time frame because there are so many competing. We have a number of parties involved in this matter, and so trying to keep everyone's schedule, trying to accommodate everyone's schedule, and then accommodate everybody in the board's schedule because we have the same kinds of difficulties, and we also have conflicts on different evenings of the week with township meetings. So I think we have generally done a great job keeping the process moving, but it has taken a long time, and every once in a while we lose somebody because of the scheduling. So with that, I'm now officially calling the meeting to order. It is approximately 6:08 p.m. I'll ask Mr. Emmerich to conduct the roll call vote. Or the roll call attendance. Sorry about that.
Member Zimuda.
Here.
Member Nutt.
Here.
Member Wyckoff.
Here.
Chairman Bruzen.
Here.
You have a quorum of four.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. That takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is new business. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Nelson to open it up and to begin the hearing.
I do have just two things. As was mentioned by the chair, we are missing one of the five supervisors. As we have done previously in this case, we will have him review the transcript before any discussion or vote takes place at the conclusion of this hearing. Speaking of transcripts, I know there was some discussion about them at the end of the last hearing. The township has gone ahead and ordered all the transcripts, so that they are currently being put together. Lastly, we had a discussion about the progress at this tonight's hearing, the one on the 31st and the one in August. I believe Ms. Means said she wasn't available for one of them, which I guess is tonight. Is that correct, Mr. Miller? Okay, and she will be here on the 31st, though. Okay, great. That being said, so we're now skipping over. We didn't get to her for her put on her case. We didn't get to you, Mr. Miller, either, did we?
No.
Okay. Do you wish to put on your case now, or are you going to wait for Ms. Means?
I can do it now.
Okay. So I think you're next up then. Is that correct? Let me see.
Mark, why don't we I think Mark Winter might be up first.
Yes. Well, Mark, weren't you already done?
No.
You have it done?
No, Mr. Blumberg has to testify.
Then let's go start with you. Okay. We can say an order.
Okay. I guess,
Can you hear the chair?
I can. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, thanks, Ron.
Is that heavy?
Yes. Oh, my back. Somebody will be named as a defendant.
You're sovereign immunity.
If you could just push that button and it'll turn green. There you go.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Grab the other one, Mark, and let him have that
one.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
this
one. You can move that down to the table.
I'm good here. It'll be long enough to get here. I'm not going to move. And Chuck, if you could bring up T4.
We do need the fitness score.
Oh, yes.
Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that helps you God?
Yes.
And can you state and spell your last name?
My name is Ronald Blumberg, Blumberg.
Thank you.
Mr. Blumberg, first of all, where do you live?
332 Clark Road, Homestown, PA.
Is that in Jerry Township?
Yes.
Where do you conduct your place of business?
637 Fishburne Road, Hershey, PA.
And is that adjacent to the applicant's proposed development?
Yes.
Now, what business do you conduct at 637 Fishburne Road?
I own a barbershop there.
And what is it called?
Ron's Barbershop and Shaving Parlor.
Now, how long have you owned the land at 637 Fishburne Road?
How long I've owned the land?
How long have you owned the land?
Sold myself?
Yes.
About a year and a half or so.
And is it actually two tracts of land that you own that are adjacent to each other?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And on that two tracts of land, what is constructed?
A parking lot and a barbershop building.
And is there also a freestanding garage building?
Yes.
Okay.
It fit three cars.
Okay. Who did you acquire title to the subject land from?
Dr. Melvin Blumberg, my
is
father.
That your father. Okay. And do you know approximately what year your father bought the property at 637 Fishburne?
June 2012.
And was that about the time that you began your business of Ron's Barbershop at that location?
The week of Thanksgiving in November, first day of the week.
Of 2012?
Correct.
Okay. So you've operated the business of Ron's Barbershop at that location since November of 12. You've actually owned the two tracts of real estate for about a year and a half. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And just a little bit on your background, were you raised here in Deary Township?
I moved in the area around 1987.
And about how old were you at the time?
About 12, 13.
And did you come here because Dr. Mel Blumberg adopted you?
That's correct.
And then you've remained a resident of this area since that time, is that correct?
Around this area, yes.
Okay. Did you go to high school in the general area?
Yes, I graduated from Lebanon Catholic.
In what year?
92.
After graduating from Lebanon Catholic, did you pursue any form of higher education?
Yes.
And what form?
I went to, almost became a chef, and I also went to the Barber Styling Institute.
The Barber Styling Institute, is that based in Harrisburg?
Yes, Campville, Harrisburg area, yes.
And was that to obtain a license from Pennsylvania as a licensed barber?
That's correct, yes.
And what are the basic requirements to become a licensed barber?
You have to, you need 1,250 hours for practical and examination licensing from the board of the state of Pennsylvania.
As a licensed barber, are you distinguished as to some of the things that you can do or the services that you can provide as opposed to someone who's merely a hairstylist?
That's correct.
And what are some of the things that you're allowed to do?
We're allowed to use straight razor, stylists now.
And do you have to renew your license every 2 years?
That's correct.
And approximately what year were you licensed as a barber in Pennsylvania?
I don't know offhand, but I guess between 96 and 97.
So for approximately 25 years, give or take?
Yes, sir.
Prior to operating Bronze Barbershop at 637 Fishburne Road, did you own any other facilities prior to that time?
Yes, I owned a barbershop in Harrisburg from 2001 to about 2012. And I also owned a barbershop in Lebanon from 98 to 2001.
So at 637 Fishburne Road, you currently operate Ron's Barbershop and Shaving,
Shaving Parlor, yes.
Shaving Parlor, okay. And do you have independent contractors who are also based in your facility?
Yes.
Okay, now, they're not your employees, are they?
No.
Okay. But how many independent contractors do you have?
Three.
And you yourself provide haircutting, is that correct, barbering?
Yes, sir.
On an average week in good business, about how many haircuts a week would you perform?
On an average, just me, myself, I do about 120.
About 120 haircuts?
Yes.
And would you consider your business right now to be pretty good?
Yes. Okay. That's where we used to be before COVID.
Now, right now, at your place of business, have you recently done some renovation work or some enhancement to the building or to the general property?
Yes.
And what have you done?
I repaved the parking lot, new lines, also got the shop painted, and also the front porch painted.
Okay. Now, in order, go back to 2012 when your dad, Dr. Blumberg, bought the property, did the two of you have to come before the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board in order to get permission to operate such a business, a barber?
Yes.
At that location?
Twice, yes.
And were you given permission from the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board?
Yes.
Were there any conditions or restrictions placed on your use?
Yes.
And what were they?
For every subcontractor or myself, I need 3 parking spots.
Okay. And so if you currently had yourself and 3 independent contractors, you would need 12 on-site parking spaces right now. Is that correct?
Correct, but I rotate them.
So you don't have all 12 spaces right now. Is that correct?
I only have 9.
Okay. So in order to be in compliance with the requirements of the Zoning Hearing Board decision, you only have... If you're working, you only have 2 of your potential 3 independent contractors working at a given time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Where would you say the majority of your customers come from, your patrons come from?
Derry Township.
But do you also have people coming from a wider geographic area?
From all the other areas. I have owned a shop, yes, from Harrisburg area and Lemon County area.
Now, I'd like you to turn your attention to what's been identified as Township Exhibit 4. It's a concept plan. Can you see that from here, Mr. Plumber? Am I in your way?
Yes, I can see it.
And if you see where I have the red arrow, if you can see, you may have to move around behind me. But where I'm moving the red arrow, would these be your two lots that you own, the adjacent lots that you own?
Yes, that's correct.
And then adjacent to you, between you and the alley, there's a property, and do you know who owns that property?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And who's that?
Michael Corrado.
And is that Mr. Corrado, who's one of the Dairy Township supervisors?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, on your property, you have located both what used to be a house, but is now your barber shop, correct?
Yes, correct.
And you also have a separate three-car garage. Right?
In the back, yes.
In the back. Now, if you look at the back where you see these blue arrows, okay?
Yes.
And can you read what's written in this blue box here?
No, I can't see far away.
Okay, you might have to get a little closer. We're looking in this blue box. Can you stand up closer if you need to? There we go.
I'm pretty cool.
And Chuck blew that up.
Yes.
And what does that say?
Left turn restriction and right away.
Okay. And then just below that, do you also see this box that I've highlighted here?
Yes, it's ROW, by the way.
Okay.
All right.
Now, do you know anything about a proposed right-of-way at the rear of your property?
No, I don't.
And again, this is just a concept plan that someone has developed. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you have heard testimony at the prior hearings about the fact, and Chuck, if we could maybe shrink this down just a little bit and go back to Fishburne Road. Yeah. So, Mr. Blumberg, you heard prior testimony that in front of your place of business, well, first of all, if we go back to the applicant's property, you'll see an exit here, a right-hand exit. Are you familiar, have you heard testimony about this right-hand exit?
Yes, it's the Sand Hill Road.
Well, that's to exit onto Fishburne Road, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so this is exiting off of the applicant's property, and it's a right turn only, is that correct?
Correct.
And you've heard the phrase pork chop.
Yes.
So you know what that is. Right?
Correct.
Right. So anybody exiting from the applicant's property at this location would be permitted to make a right-hand turn to proceed south going down Fishburne Road, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you've heard testimony, in order to stop anybody from being able to make a left-hand turn out of this pork chop, have you heard testimony as to what is being proposed to be constructed on Fishburne Road?
Yes.
And what is proposed to be constructed on Fishburne Road?
A median strip.
A median strip, okay. And as far as you know, would that median strip prohibit anybody from making a left-hand turn out of the applicant's property, right at this location? They would not be able to make a left-hand turn to go north on Fishburne Road, is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, anybody that was, say, on Route 322, either going east on 322 or coming from the east on 322 and heading west, if they wanted to go to your place of business, and if this proposed median strip was constructed, if anybody were going south on Fishburne Road from Route 322, would they be able to make a left-hand turn into your place of business?
No.
Are they currently allowed to do that?
Yes.
So right now at your location, there's full access, left-hand turn in, left-hand turn out, right turn in, right turn out. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So anybody traveling in any direction on Fishburne Road, in a southerly direction on Fishburne Road, would not be able to make a left-hand turn into your property. Is that correct?
Correct.
Would it be fair to say that anybody traveling north on Fishburne Road, and only people traveling north on Fishburne Road, would be able to enter your property and they'd be making a right-hand turn to do so?
That's correct.
So the only way in, if this median were constructed, the only way in is you have to be northbound on Fishburne Road and make a right-hand turn into your place of business, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, anybody leaving your place of business right now can make both a right-hand turn onto Fishburne going north, and they can also turn left onto Fishburne going south. Is that correct?
That's correct.
If the median were constructed, would someone be able to make a left-hand turn out of your property?
No.
Would they be required to make only a right-hand turn and only going north on Fishburne Road?
Yes, only right.
Now, you also heard testimony that across the street in the applicant's proposed development, literally directly across the street from your property, in fact, there's a proposed three-story building. Have you heard testimony about that?
Yes.
And are you aware that the top two floors are proposed to be residential apartments?
Yes.
Have you heard testimony that the ground floor is proposed to be retail or restaurant and retail or some use?
Yes.
As a hypothetical, if in this building right here, this proposed building, if there was a barber or a hairstylist located in here, would their patrons have full access right in, right out, left in, left out, from any direction?
Yes, they would.
And you across the street would be restricted to right in only, right out only, if the median were constructed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
In your opinion, if this median strip were constructed, would that have a negative impact on your patrons and their ability to have free and easy access to getting to your property?
Yes, it would be a negative impact.
And do you feel that that could possibly cost you a component of your current business?
Yes.
And again, going back here to this proposed right-of-way, no one has had any discussion with you about this, have they?
Nobody.
Now, can you estimate approximately where at the rear of your property your garage, your car garage is located?
From behind my building?
Yes. Do you think that it would be on or near this proposed width of this right-of-way?
The garage is probably right on that right away.
I'm sorry, could you say that?
The garage is probably on that right away.
It's on that right away.
Yes.
And are there also parking spaces back here, striped parking spaces?
Yes, there's parking spaces in front of the garage.
And if this right away were constructed, would that impact those parking spaces?
Yes, I would lose my parking.
And again, one of your conditions from the 2012 Gary Township zoning decision was that you have to have three regulation parking spaces for each stylist or barber.
Correct.
And so if you lost some parking spaces, you could conceivably lose the ability to have a stylist.
Yes, I won't be able to have, I'll lose a person.
To this point, has anyone representing the applicant discussed with you the impact that this median might have on your property?
No.
Have you had any discussion with anybody from the applicant at all in any way, shape, or form?
No.
If the median, in your opinion, if the median were constructed, I think you testified a moment ago that you felt it would have a negative impact on your business.
That's correct.
The volume of business. In your opinion, would it also have a negative impact on the overall value of your property?
I think so.
No further questions at this time.
Before we go into cross-examination, I just want to make sure is it your contention, Mr. Winter, that that line in the back of the Bloomberg and Corrado properties is a proposed right-of-way?
Well, it does say in the box, ROW, which I take to mean right-of-way.
And just, I believe we addressed this in an earlier hearing, and we think, I think that was decided upon that that was a zoning district line, and that the right-of-way is pointing to the property as a whole, not to a specific right-of-way. So I don't think there is any right-of-way being proposed back there at all.
Okay, well, that's good.
Mr. Stump, am I correct in that?
That is correct. The arrow there was pointing to the property, implying that there may be a right-of-way impact to that property, not necessarily at the rear of the property. The impact is really up along Fishburne Road.
Excellent.
Okay, I just didn't want to go way down that rabbit hole.
No, that's, we appreciate that.
Okay, good. That being said,
I
believe, Mr. Strong, you're up first.
Why don't you slide up there?
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Bloomberg.
Good evening.
Just have a couple questions for you. You testified a little bit about the two properties and the history of the ownership of those properties. So just wanted to ask you a couple follow-up questions relating to the properties. So we have... Exhibit T4 still up on the screen, and there are two properties with the name Ronald R. Blumberg on the property. Are those the two properties that you own currently?
Those are the properties, yes. I pay taxes on both.
Okay, and there was a question about how long you individually have owned those, and you've owned both of those properties for approximately a year and a half, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
2020.
Okay, and I believe the testimony was that your father had acquired those properties many years prior, and I think 2012 was the testimony?
That's correct.
And that you had been working at the barbershop on the one parcel since approximately 2012, is that correct?
November 2012, yes.
Okay. And the two properties themselves, the larger property, that is the property that has the building or the structure on the property, is that correct?
The building and part of the parking lot, yes.
And the smaller of the two properties, that only has the parking lot, is that correct?
Half other side of the parking lot, yes.
Okay. And the driveway that's existing is not located on the larger parcel, correct? The driveway itself is located on both. There's one driveway, correct?
It's on both properties.
So it straddles the property line, is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
And that existing parking lot, is it used by the adjoining property to the north, identified as Catherine E. Nelson?
Yes.
And do they have a certain number of parking spots in that parking lot that are theirs to use, or what is that arrangement?
We put up lines there and two signs says where they're parking only, so she can have a place to park. We'll be a nice neighbor.
Okay. And how many spaces?
We put in two.
Two for them. The prior application for a Sheetz fueling facility on the Governor Crossing property, as well as another commercial building, are you aware that that application was approved by the township in 2018?
It wasn't approved. The Sheetz was supposed to go somewhere else on that land.
Were you aware of the Sheetz application in 2018 that was approved for across the street from your property?
Would that be Chuck Gray?
Yes, C.S. Gray, and the applicant was Gray and Sheetz, and the Sheetz was approved.
The Sheetz was supposed to be directly across the street from me, not on the corner. That's what was approved, I think.
Correct.
So these are all new plans. These are all different.
Oh, we're not disagreeing on that.
Okay.
But you are aware that the Sheetz was approved in 2000.
I don't know if it was approved. I just heard rumors.
Okay. Did you attend any of those hearings
for
the Sheetz application? So you didn't oppose that application in 2018.
No, I didn't hear any negativity, like a meteor strip or anything.
And I think your testimony just now was that in 2018, the sheets would have been directly across from your properties as opposed to out at the corner as is proposed on this application?
That's correct. By Chuck Gray, right?
Correct. Okay. There were some questions about your customers, and I understand you have at least three stylists, but maybe only two working at any given time if you're working. And I think you also testified that that business is back to sort of pre-COVID levels. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Would you say you're at maximum capacity for providing the services that you provide at your shop?
I feel like we're getting busier and busier.
Okay. And I guess the question that I have is, Mr. Winter, you know, said that, you know, went over the turning movements and how people will be able to get in and get out of your property. But if someone, instead of coming south on Fishburne Road from Route 322, they could pull in, they could go to the sheets, they could go to the doctor's office, and then they could exit, come out Sand Hill, turn left at the light, and then go to your shop, correct?
That would be a big inconvenience.
But would it, if they wanted to go to Sheets, stop at the convenience store, get gas, if they had a doctor's appointment, now they could do all of those things in one trip.
If they're just coming to go to the barbershop, it would be an inconvenience to come to my shop. And more traffic. And you know that.
And I'm asking you the possibility of a customer that might come to you, go to the Sheets first, and then come to your shop.
I don't know how the customer thinks. You got to ask them.
There was a question about the mixed-use building that's proposed for this property. And you're aware that the upper two floors are for residential apartments?
Yes, the lower floor for retail, like a restaurant, I heard, maybe one or two.
Correct. And you haven't heard any testimony or seen anything in an application suggesting in any way that a barbershop or a beauty salon is proposed on the first floor of the mixed-use building, have you?
I haven't heard nothing yet, but doesn't mean it won't.
Okay, so we can't assume that that's going in on the first floor as was implied in Mr. Winter's question to you, correct?
It's like not assuming if they're going to go to Sheets first and come to the barbershop, so I'm not assuming anything.
Let's talk about the 40 apartments. Is that all, you know, potential business for your barbershop that would be moving in directly across from your barbershop?
I don't know. Maybe they have a previous barber.
And if they have a previous barber, being across from your shop might be an opportunity for you to provide services to those folks. Is that correct?
I have clients that I've been cutting their hair for 25 years, same person, and they travel me from Lebanon, Harrisburg to here. Usually people that find somebody they like, they don't like the change.
Well, that's an interesting point. So you have folks that are really going to significant effort to come to your shop, whether that's traveling from Lebanon, whether that's traveling from Harrisburg. And I guess what I'm hearing from you is, with this change in traffic pattern, those folks are just going to give up on you after coming to your shop for 25 years?
It'll be a very inconvenience, and you know that. Once somebody told you how to get in your driveway.
I'm asking you.
It'll be inconvenience.
Do you think they're going to stop coming to you if they've been coming to you for 25 years and all the way from Lebanon?
Well, if this whole project gets stuck and, you know, all backed up with traffic, because I'm thinking this traffic is going to be like from 3:30 to 5:30, how it is every day. That's how good it's going to be from 7 in the morning to about 7 at night. And there's going to be more traffic from 3:30 to 5:30. Exactly how it's going to be. And you know that.
And I'll ask you.
And for business, since I'm an expert there, because I am in business myself, you want the stop and go traffic. You don't want the cars to go speeding by. You want the stop congesting traffic. For a business.
And you were here for the multiple hearings when the applicant's traffic engineer testified?
He's not an expert in what happens in front of my shop. I am.
That's not the question I asked you. I asked you if you were present for the time
when
he testified. And you heard when he was qualified as an expert in traffic engineering at the outset of his testimony?
On his computer, yes.
And were you here when the township traffic engineer testified about the traffic and the review of the traffic impact study?
On his computer, yes, but they're not business.
And you're disputing what the township traffic engineer testified to and the applicant's traffic engineer testify to?
I'm testifying that I know more business than they do.
And are you an expert in the field of traffic engineering?
In front of my shop. I know what traffic goes on in front of my shop more than they do. They don't live there, they don't work there, they don't come to my shop.
I'm asking you if you're an expert in the field of...
So I'm much as an expert as if I would put in numbers.
I'd like to be able to finish asking the question before the witness starts answering.
I think I think he answered your question. But Mr. Bloomberg?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, just try to answer the question. We know you're opposed to this. We know you're angry about this. And let's just try to get through it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And again, the question is, are you an expert in the field of traffic?
No, I think please move on. He's answered that
question. That's my last question. I just wanted to hear a yes or no from him.
I think he's giving you the answer.
It let the record reflect that the answer is no. Those are all the questions I have for this witness.
Mr. McNew?
No questions.
Mr. Getz?
Good questions.
Mr. Greenberg?
No questions.
We'll skip Mr. Winter. Mr. Miller? Ms. Newman?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
Okay, no questions.
Mr. Stain?
No questions.
Mr. Twyman? Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Thank you. And how did I skip Mr. Christ? Mr. Christ?
No questions.
I just have one redirect.
Go right ahead, sir.
I'll thank you. So, a moment ago on cross-examination, you were asked about a 2018 application that Mr. Craig had filed.
Correct.
And you testified that at that time you did not come before the Board of Supervisors and voice any objections to Mr. Craig's plan. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
But to the best of your knowledge, based on the location of the proposed sheets in 2018, did that require the construction of a median strip on Fishburne Road in front of your place of business?
Not that I know of.
No further questions.
Does the board have any questions for this witness? Mr. Strong, you have any follow-up?
No, I do not.
Okay. Anyone else have any follow-up? Seeing none, the witness is excused. Does that complete your case in chief?
Yes, it does.
Thank you, Mr. Winter. Thank you. Mr. Miller, now you're up. Thank you.
Douglas Miller.
Before you get started, Mr. Miller, we're going to need to swear to you in. I assume you're going to be testifying?
Yes.
Are you going to be calling any other witnesses?
One.
Okay. Who's your other witness?
Mr. Emmerich.
Okay. If you would have Mr. Miller sworn in, and we'll deal with Mr. Emmerich afterwards.
As always.
You swear I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Mr. Nelson, we're going to need the microphone so we can hear it. He's going to have to be close to the board.
He has it right there. He's trying.
But thank you.
We appreciate the... And speak up if he fades again. He's facing us, so we really don't notice him.
Good evening. My name is Douglas Miller. My wife, Terry, and I live here in Derry Township on Clark Road. use Sand Hill Road multiple times per day to get to our business that we operate, known as Seedlings Academy for Young Learners. Seedlings is operated in three commercially renovated properties at 721, 725, and 739 Fishburne Road, from which we lease those properties from Ms. Annette Means of A to Z Realty. Seedlings Academy is an educational child care business providing services to 90 children from 75 different families. We are only one of three privately owned, non-franchised educational child care centers in Derry Township of which we are aware. We opened Seedlings Academy 6.5 years ago with one building at 721 Fishburne Road. Very soon after opening, our landlord, Annette Means, approached us about expanding into 725 Fishburne Road. 2 years later, Ms. Means approached Dr. Hamilton, who was retiring, to purchase his property. We have spent a great deal of time and funds in creating facilities that are aesthetically pleasing to the neighborhood, as well as highly effective for the care and teaching of children from 6 months to 5 years of age. We have excellent relationships with our neighbors and seek to provide the highest quality of care and education possible, exceeding industry and government standards. We are concerned that this development and the resulting traffic issues it will cause will put our children and staff at risk for our safety as well as our quality of life. Oh, by the way, we have 15 staff as well. This will in turn cause us to provide a level of care that is less than the quality of excellence that we currently provide every day and could thereby cause significant loss of business. Now, there are a number of concerns and considerations that I would like to address tonight that, by testimony, are not a great concern for the developer or his engineers, but are of great concern to us and to the families that we serve. Based on the last paragraph of PennDOT's comments, and if you could put up number one, Chuck, please. And you have all of these, everything that you will see on screen is in the packets that I put before you, and they're all numbered according to everything that is on the screen. So based on the last paragraph of PennDOT's comments on 10-19-22, in response to the applicant's traffic impact study, which states, it is the department's preference to restrict entering and exiting left turn movements for driveways located along the left turn lane, particularly for those properties which access the alley that will become the fourth leg of the intersection of Fishburne Road and relocated Sand Hill Road. I would like to show you the potential access and safety issues for Seedlings Academy and those we serve. If you could put up number two, Chuck, please. If this relocated intersection is approved, the relocated intersection will be right here at the alley. Currently, Seedlings Academy is allowed to enter into, by our zoning ordinance, is allowed to enter only into Seedlings from Fishburne Road. We are not allowed to exit onto Fishburne Road. We must enter into this and exit out into the alley. That is our current setup. We are allowed to go either way, in either direction, but it can be left turn in or right turn in. We have both of these driveways. We have these three buildings. Sorry for being so shaky. We have this building here, this one here, and this one here. This driveway serves two buildings. This driveway serves the last building, 739 Fishburne Road. So, if this relocated intersection is approved, the new northbound left turn lane will restrict our staff and our families from being able to turn left into our driveways and would be right turn only. So what then would be the options for our staff and for our families? Well, one option would be that PennDOT and Linlow's engineers assumed is an option, is to have them come in the alley from the relocated intersection and exit onto Fishburne Road. If you could put the next one up, Chuck, please. Okay, Chuck, can you just zoom in, please? And there we go. So we would only be allowed to, if we come in from the back of the alley and then exit onto Fishburne Road, that is what PennDOT and the engineers are assuming is allowed, except it isn't, because we are not allowed to by our zoning ordinance, by our conditional use approval from the township supervisors. However, the reason it was deemed unsafe to exit back out onto Fishburne Road was because right in here is a rise in elevation of Fishburne Road, and the cars come over this rise fairly quickly. And so they wanted us not to exit out onto Fishburne Road for safety reasons, because people would not have been able to stop in time, at the very least for this driveway here. If this change, one of the questions I have, and it's a rhetorical question, is it now suddenly, from what we're told, is it now suddenly okay and safe for us to exit out onto Fishburne Road based on what we're hearing engineers talk about? If this change is made, egress onto Fishburne Road will be right turn only, which means that people exiting our driveways onto Fishburne Road will need to wait for the queue of cars that will be created by the new traffic light. It also means if someone is needing to go south to work or home, they will have to, Chuck, if you could give me a wider angle there. If they want to go south, they are going to have to do a number of different options. One is come out, turn right only, go back through the alley, come down here to the Physicians Center driveway, exit here, and then come out left. Okay? That could potentially increase the traffic in the alley, which is only a 1.5 lane, 1.5 car wide alley. Legally, it really isn't an option, as the UPC driveway, the University Physician Center driveway, is privately owned. And Mr. Stump testified that he doesn't have any real solution to that issue other than to widen the alley for two-way traffic and to create a cul-de-sac. And so I would rhetorically ask, does the township really want to do that? If you could put up number 5, Chuck. Another option is, we are right here. Okay, we're good there. Another option is for our families to exit out of Fishburne onto Fishburne Road, wrangle their way, because right here is our driveway, and they start at 2 lanes right there. So wrangle their way into the left-hand turn lane, turn left, come down here on Sand Hill, turn right, come through the parking lot, turn right, do the right-hand turn here, and then go south on Fishburne Road. Okay, that's another option. If you could put up number 4, Chuck, the next one. This is a wider view of the area. The next option is for them to come out here, turn right only, go all the way up to Governor Road, go all the way down Governor Road, turn right onto Cocoa, come down Cocoa to Fishburne, and turn left. Those are the only options for anyone needing to go south out of our property. Those are also the only options for any business along the east side of Fishburne Road. I'm not sure if I should be speaking for the neighbors. They can speak for themselves. But right now, the neighbors across the street would be right turn only, and right turn out only, and right turn in only. And so that creates an issue for approximately 8 to 9 different properties across the street from Seedlings Academy. The result is that this plan will create much higher use of an alley that is not designed for that level of use. It may also create higher than testified usage of the new development's parking areas as a turnaround area during peak traffic hours. Mr. Creasy testified that he doesn't anticipate much increased use of the alley. But I'm not sure how he can testify to that when the traffic study did not include Fishburne Road south of the proposed intersection and the impact to our businesses that will result in impact to the alley. As well, we have seen that the TIS projections are derived from a software that is dependent on national numbers and set formulas that are not specific to this location. And as we have seen, those numbers already do not hold up to our shared personal experiences with traffic at this location. I can tell you from personal experience that this plan will create higher use and greater safety issues on the alley with speeding cars in a 1 to 1.5 car wide usage. I can testify that in 2022, when Fishburne Road was closed for water line installation, they closed the road at the University Physician Center. To get around the closure with minimal inconvenience, drivers used the alley at much greater levels and much greater speeds than should be allowed. Based on this experience and observations, as well as others over the years, we are sure that if there is a long queue at the new stoplight, people will seek to get around the queue to get to the light more quickly. They will seek to come up. What we have found is that people, if this is clogged up here anywhere, they go down the physician's driveway, they come up the alley, and they get so that they can get here, so people will let them in at that part of Fishburne Road, much closer to the light at Governor Road. We are sure that if there is a long queue, people will seek to get around it or try to turn around and go another way. They will try to use our driveways to do it. It happens. It happens too often. And it happens in spite of our use of signs. And it puts our staff and our children in danger. We had gotten to the place where we were considering potentially putting up a gate at our driveway so that we would stop people from trying to cut through back to the alley. And if approved, what will happen to alley usage during construction of the turning lane? People will try to bypass it using the alley. And during peak hours, during construction, northbound traffic in the alley will increase, while southbound traffic will also increase, because that will be the only access and egress to and from Seedlings. Our parking lots are not large enough to handle turnarounds and the congestion caused by ingress and egress from the alley, and it will be a nightmare for our families for an extended period of time. It will also place neighborhood children at risk, if you could put up number 6, Chuck, please, who live in the apartment building at the intersection of the alley with Fishburne Road, as the alley is their only play area. And I've shown this picture before, but you will see here a bike here and a basketball here. So imagine the newly located intersection there with the new southbound left turn lane going into this alley. Imagine someone trying to beat a short cycle yellow left turn arrow, as often happens at Fishburne and Governor Road. The cars speed up to beat the light, turns left at that higher level of speed, and there are children playing right here. I'd also like to discuss alley ownership, and I would like to call Mr. Emmerich as a witness at this time.
Yeah, before you can call another witness, you got to finish your testimony.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
okay.
If you could please just finish everything you're going to say, and then we're going to go through cross-examination of you, and then you can call Mr. Emmerich at that point in time.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I might not, if...
It's fine if the numbers of your exhibits don't
well,
match up.
Well, no, what I'm thinking is that if I'm allowed to continue my testimony, I may not need Mr. Emmerich to be the witness because it's based on conversations and emails that he and I have had. Is that admissible?
Well, if you're... It depends. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
How I made my money. So, what I think you should do, Mr. Miller, is continue with your testimony.
Okay.
If there are any issues with it, someone else may raise those issues.
Okay.
And we'll deal with them then.
Okay.
If no one raises those issues, we're good to go.
Okay.
All
right. On June 29th of 2023, I submitted a citizen request via email on the township website, and I requested information on alley ownership that was relevant to our situation here, and I asked that documents be provided to show that the alley was indeed owned by the township. Mr. Emmerich quickly responded to me the next morning and provided those documents. And so the township does indeed own the alley, which we have that finally answered. that's taken care of. But that brought up a question in my mind. Because in the 6.5 years that we have been at Seedlings, we have not noticed any maintenance at all of the alley by the township. And so I called on July 10th Tom Clark, Director of Public Works, and I asked him why the alley was not being maintained by the township. And I left a message on his phone as he was out in the field. He called me back later in the afternoon and explained that he had indeed talked to Chuck, Mr. Emmerich, and Mr. Emmerich had explained to him that yes, the township owns the alley, but there is no maintenance agreement for the alley. So that explains to me why nothing happens when it snows, why nothing happens if there's any kind of potholes, and why Dr. Robert Kramer has been plowing and maintaining the alley for years. So here we have a plan or a design from the developer and its engineers, and even our own township engineers, requiring a turning lane and PennDOT limiting or changing access to our business based on the quote-unquote assumed ability for businesses to use the alley for entrance, which the township owns, but which the township currently has no plan to maintain. So what happens when it snows during the day and our parents are required to use the alley to enter Seedlings, but it hasn't been maintained and they can't get into the alley because the snow makes it impassable? What happens if something happens to Dr. Kramer and he is unable to serve his neighbors in this way? What happens if he just decides, you know, the township owns it and it isn't my responsibility anymore? Will we have to pay for it to be done privately? Will the township reimburse us? What if something happens to one of our parents' cars due to the township's determination that the alley is adequate, but it isn't for two-way traffic, and an accident occurs due to increased use? What is the township's liability in that case? You get the point. How are we to use this alley if it doesn't meet the standards for a viable roadway and the township doesn't maintain it? Currently, we do use it as an exit because we are required to, and it works because Dr. Kramer maintains it, and the current level of use makes it work. This will not be the case with a new development and a relocated signalized intersection. I would like to move on, and I would like to submit as an exhibit a survey that I recently took of our parents regarding this plan. I thought if I'm going to be concerned about a claim, any type of safety concerns for our parents and our children, and any type of loss for our business, I should be accurate. It will be number 7 in your packets. We developed this survey, and I'm not going to go through the entire thing, but we developed this survey through SurveyMonkey. It was taken between June 27th and July 3rd of 2023. It was sent to 145 emails, which represents 2 emails per household minus a few single-parent homes. We received 81 responses, which, depending on who responded, could represent 100% of our families and a second response by a few households, or it could represent 57% of all emails or something anywhere in between. This survey was done anonymously, so we don't really know. Either way, it's an extremely strong response as surveys go. I asked 11 questions on this survey, and I will highlight some of the answers for the audio record, as you will be able to see all of them in the exhibit. First, while most of our families, 72 to 79%, do not find it difficult to drop off or pick up their children now, which is revealed on pages 2 and 3, the vast majority believe that this plan would create an inconvenience for them when it comes to dropping off or picking up their children, 86 to 89.3%, as shown on pages 11 and 12. As well, on page 6, you will see that 96% of our respondents are concerned about Fishburne Road coming any closer to our buildings. If you could put up picture 8, please. There you go. This is currently the current situation. If you could put up picture 9, too. The distance from the edge of our lawn to our sign is 12 feet 2 inches. Mr. Stump had testified that usually the current right-of-way goes behind the telephone poles. So if you could see that, that's probably about 7 feet right now, the telephone pole being there at the top of the screen. And if we are being asked to give up another 5 feet, that will put us very close to where that sign is. This is a major safety concern for our parents, as is shown in their comments about this question on pages 7 through 10. 74 respondents commented. I highlight some of them for the audience and for the audio transcript. I'm trying to find them here. Please see comment 15 on page 7 of the study, of the survey. By moving the road closer to where our children play and sleep and learn, you increase the chance for a driver to collide with the building. By moving the road closer, you lessen the reactive distance for drivers who in recent years have been more distracted and have a greater probability to have an accident. This endangers the lives and safety of our children who sleep in those rooms that would now be even closer to the road. Please look at comment 19. We chose seedlings for many reasons, but a major one was the overall quiet or calm atmosphere, which is aided greatly by the lawns at the front of the buildings and play areas in the back. The proposed project will not only increase traffic, it will also bring this increased traffic and its associated noises and disruptions closer to the buildings. Please look down the page at comment 33. That would bring significant traffic much closer to the school, causing increased noise in the classroom, exposing the kids to more vehicle exhaust while playing outside, and generally increased risk due to so many cars passing, so those so close to playing children. And one more comment, comment 47. Moving the road 12 to 15 feet closer to the schools is a hazard to our children. According to an article from Slate magazine, at least 100 American drivers veer their cars into buildings each day, or 36,500 a year. 16,000 Americans are injured in car-on-building crashes each year, and more than 2,500 people killed. And in number 51, less space is in front of the building means cars would be closer to the play areas. The traffic noise may also make it more difficult for children to hear during lessons and to sleep at nap time. We also wanted to see how this could potentially affect our business. And so on we asked question 10 on page 13. If entrance to or exit from Seedlings were changed by PennDOT or Derry Township and it became more inconvenient for you to access Seedlings, will you consider changing to a different educational child care provider? We are gratified that 2/3 of our families said no. However, 1/3 said yes. And that is much more of a loss than it would take for Seedlings to experience financial hardship if those families are not replaced due to the new safety concerns or new inconveniences that could keep new families away. Profit margins are already thin, which is normal across child cares, especially those that are privately owned small businesses. Which brings up more questions, and again, these are rhetorical. We know the property owners are compensated for loss of land. Will we, as the tenants of those properties, be compensated by the township or by PennDOT for loss of income? Would we need to sue to receive any compensation? We know PennDOT has a history of not paying tenant businesses or paying very little, as is experienced by one tenant business off of the I-83 corridor this past year. Moving on with the survey. Please allow me to read for the audio record some of the comments that our families wanted to communicate to you, the Board of Supervisors. I would ask you that you would please read all of them. I know it takes time, but please do so. There are 33 comments that wanted to be said to you, and I would highlight comment 8. On page 14, the current roads and traffic patterns allow me to reach Seedlings easily and without dealing with too much Hershey Park traffic during the summer or too much Derry Township school traffic during the school year. The proposed project would certainly change that, as well as our driving route, ultimately costing us more time and affecting our work schedules. Furthermore, Seedlings is rather unique in its organization with 3 separate buildings, which creates a better and more calm environment, something my child certainly benefits from. Bringing traffic closer and increasing traffic will negate some of that benefit. Number 11 on page 14. I am gravely concerned about bringing the road closer to the buildings where my children are being very well cared for. Utilize the vast free space in the open area that was created with tearing houses down for a traffic plan. I work over on Hope Drive and appreciate the close proximity to a superior child care provider with the easy access it has now. I would also ask you to especially read comment number 17, which I will not read due to time constraints tonight, but I would ask you to please take the time to read that. As you can see, parents trust us to care for their children, to keep them safe. And they are very grateful for the measures that we take to protect their children while they have to work. Please don't force us to provide a lower level of service and safety to our staff, children, and families because this intersection is poorly located, designed, or conceived. I want to address the TIS. I can appreciate that the TIS took a great deal of work. Again, however I understand it, is that the TIS is based on software produced from national standards and typical numbers. So how can we rely on those things that are part of the TIS to be true for this specific situation when the guidance isn't specific to this area? We have heard in testimony regarding the TIS that traffic will be increasing significantly over the projected window of time the TIS covers. And this doesn't even include increased traffic from the new Hershey Chocolate Plant or the Hershey West End development, as those projects were not considered in the TIS. Currently, there are numerous milk trucks which travel Fishburne Road each day for the existing plant. I can't imagine that this will decrease once another large plant goes online. I cannot believe that another signalized intersection so close to the current signalized intersection will solve any traffic issues created by the increased traffic of this development and then multiplied by the other two very large projects currently underway. And let's look at a very recent example of traffic congestion all over the region caused by Sheetz, by Sheetz's recent $1.77 gas promotion on July 4th. If you could please put up number 10, Chuck. I introduce an article in the Hummelstown Sun from July 6th that was on page 5. This article states that police were called to multiple Sheetz locations on July 4th as the convenience store chain offered multiple grades of gasoline for just $1.77 a gallon for the Independence Day holiday. A line more than two dozen cars deep was reported at the Middletown Road store, while there were reports of commotion at another store when a driver accidentally locked her keys in her car at the pump. At the Palmyra store, the line spilled into neighboring streets. This promotion caused their municipalities extra funds and their police extra time to handle all the congestion and potential issues caused by people who have to wait in line for extended periods of time. Can you imagine how traffic would have been logjammed on 322, Fishburne Road, Sandhill Road, and Hockersville Road? I also find it interesting that a signalized intersection is the only proposed solution by engineers for a relocated Sandhill and Fishburne Road intersection. As I mentioned earlier in my cross-examination of Mr. Creasy, continuous movement single-lane roundabouts have been found by PennDOT through a very recent six-year study to accommodate up to 30% more traffic while reducing serious accidents by 70 to 90%. This is the study that was previously, well, I don't even remember what we marked it as, whatever exhibit it is, but it was marked as an exhibit. And in fact, Greg Rogalski, who testified at these hearings, recently testified to you at the June 13th Board of Supervisor meetings that roundabouts reduce fatal crashes by 90%, serious crashes by 75%, and overall crashes by 35%. He said it's a proven countermeasure identified by the Federal Highway Administration. And that was in response to the approval for the new roundabout at Bachmanville and Homestead Roads. If you could put up number 11, please. With roundabouts, there are only 8 points of vehicular conflict and 8 points of pedestrian conflict. With signalized intersections, there are 32 points of vehicular conflict, but 4 times more, and 24 points of pedestrian conflict. I'd also like to talk about the environmental and air quality impacts of this intersection and its impact on the nearby homes and businesses, especially when one of those businesses is a child care center. I turn your attention to studies that have revealed number 12, Chuck. studies that have revealed significant air quality improvements when roundabouts replaced failing signalized intersections. specifically a case study of Key, New Hampshire, in the September 2018 edition of the Journal of Transport and Health. The study found that a before and after comparison was performed using data gathered by the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services for 15 years. In the time period following roundabout conversion, particulate matter levels in the air were as much as 40% lower. This was due to cars being able to flow through traffic rather than idling at a stoplight. And the study states, as planners and policymakers propose roundabouts to relieve congestion and improve safety, this research provides additional evidence that the benefits of doing so can extend beyond the immediate intersection in certain communities. Another study I refer you to is the study on environmental impact of modern roundabouts, in number 13, in the February 2008 issue of the International Journal of Industrial Ergonomics. This study looked at signalized intersections that were converted to roundabouts in Kansas. It concludes the modern roundabouts in Kansas operated more effectively than the before intersection control in reducing vehicular emissions at all locations studied. There was a 21 to 42% decrease in the carbon monoxide emissions for the morning and afternoon periods after the installation of the modern roundabout. The decrease was observed to be statistically significant for both periods, both morning and afternoon. There was a 16 to 59% decrease in carbon dioxide emissions from the morning and afternoon periods after the installation of the modern roundabout. That's on page 3 of the exhibit. Finally, roundabouts cost less to implement over the long term. Roundabouts are $5,000 to $10,000 cheaper per year as there are no electrical costs involved. Roundabouts do need more property to implement. However, there are usually less approach lanes than at traffic lights, reducing the cost. And the developer has the property available to provide a roundabout if he is truly concerned about our community and willing to rework the development's plans. And I know roundabouts aren't popular with the public. I get that. And I don't know if a roundabout will actually work at this intersection or not. But I believe it is certainly worth investigating, especially considering that Milton Hershey School and the state and township cooperated to create two of them on Route 322. And now an upcoming third roundabout at Homestead and Bachmanville. And Hershey Trust and the township collaborated on a fourth one on Waltonville Road. And PennDOT has started creating one at the intersection of Grayson Road and Chambers Hill Road in Route 322. I can only assume that these entities believe roundabouts to be a viable solution to complex intersections. If it is viable for this project, it's possible that a roundabout at the relocated intersection would keep everything single lane, keeping left turn lanes and medians off the table, and would keep our businesses and our neighbors' homes from serious access issues. And yet this option was never researched for this location or site. Also, there has been testimony regarding the relocated intersection and its proximity to the lights at 322 in Fishburne and Cocoa in Fishburne. There will be two lights and left turn lanes within close proximity of one another, 600 feet. Engineers have stated they do not believe proximity to be an issue. PennDOT was concerned about this, but on June 13th at the Township Board of Supervisors meeting, the issue of proximity came up regarding the consideration of a left turn lane on southbound Middletown Road at Wood Road if a new permanent traffic light was installed. At that meeting, Assistant Public Works Director Robert Piccolo testified that PennDOT will most likely not be in favor of another lane there because it's too close to the light at the sheets. Yet that intersection, Wood Road and Middletown Road, is farther from the light at the sheets at Middletown and Stoverdale Roads. Middletown and Stoverdale Roads, the distance is 1,000 plus feet. The relocated intersection from 322 in Fishburne is 600 plus feet. When asked by Mr. McNair about certain reasons for design or possible design flaws, Mr. Creasy often stated that the design was based on PennDOT requirements or recommendations. Yet when asked by Mr. Christ about PennDOT's requirements for traffic light distances, It was very clear that now all of a sudden PennDOT's requirements or recommendations are irrelevant. Well, are they or aren't they? Can it be done both ways? Is it right to use PennDOT when it serves your purposes and disregard PennDOT when it doesn't? And I would like to address the issue of what is best for our community. The applicant will try to convince you that this development is an enhancement to our community, which he has already stated in his testimony. Whether it's with money through increased tax revenue or some other way he believes it to enhance our community, there are many people who actually live in this community who will experience quality of life declines if this application is approved, increased tax revenues or not. This could be from light, noise, smog, air quality, poor water, potential water quality issues or storm water contamination to serious traffic concerns and public safety issues. It will create quality of life declines for those who patronize the businesses impacted by these changes. And it will create quality of life declines for those of us who own the businesses. And yes, they testify that none of these things will be a problem because everything they do is going to be done according to federal, state, and local ordinances and requirements, as if going by the letter of the law is going to ameliorate all of our concerns and remedy all of the problems, and everything will be a grand utopia because all of the quote-unquote requirements have been met. And yet, many safety issues and accidents happen even if all requirements are met. We have seen accidents happen that have impacted entire communities around this country, even though everything was done according to federal, state, and local ordinances. And just because everything was followed to a T, it doesn't mean it is good for our community. Mr. Gates stated that he and the company wants what's best for our community, yet he doesn't live here. And so how does he know what is best for our community? If they want what is best for our community, why did their attorney state in some of his objections to questioning that he believes certain questions to be irrelevant or redundant as they, the developer, have done what is quote-unquote required of them in the application process? And that's what it comes down to, doing only what is required and no more. Because doing more will cost more, even if doing more will truly benefit the community more. Doing what is legally required is the letter of the law, but that doesn't mean it is best for us, for our community. It doesn't mean that a Sheetz convenience store is good for this location, whether or not a zoning ordinance says it is. I would wholeheartedly request that you change that ordinance. And I can't state this with certainty, but I haven't seen or heard anything from the Hershey Trust about a convenience store or a fueling station of this magnitude being considered in the Hershey West development. I wonder why that is. If it's good or best for the community, why hasn't Hershey Trust Company included one in their development plan? Is it possible that Hershey Trust doesn't want it there? And if not, why not? Is it possible that it will diminish the quality of life and the property values of the development? Is it possible that it doesn't fit within their vision for the aesthetics of the development? I don't know. But I find it interesting with all of the other amenities that Hershey West will have. If it isn't good or best for Hershey Trust for their plans, why is it good or best for us at this location? Doing what is legal and required doesn't mean that the proposed relocated signalized intersection is the right direction to take. Even PennDOT has their concerns. It is part of the comprehensive plan, but that doesn't mean the plan is correct regarding this solution to a problem intersection. It's best for the developer and what might be what Penn State Health wants, but not necessarily for the people who live and do business here. Doing what is required and legal just so special interests can get what they want doesn't mean something is morally right or ethically sound, especially when their plans to make lots of money infringes on the quality of life of the people in the community. And let's quickly look at the morals or the ethics of this proposal. Has anyone noticed the irony of what is being asked of Seedlings Academy as a business, or even the neighbors? The applicant is asking us as small business owners who have put extreme amounts of work into making our business successful, to now provide them with frontage so a turning lane can be constructed, which will ultimately cause us to sacrifice the well-being of those we serve, thus sacrificing our business, so that he can build a large facility for a new competitor that is a franchise. This is classic big business pushing out small business if it means making more money. Does the developer have a right to do business? Yes, but not at the expense or cost of mine. This is essentially an exchange of value, our value for theirs, and that's a moral concern. And the applicant is asking the neighbors who live along Fishburne Road to provide them with frontage from their properties so that they can only turn right out of their driveways. It isn't right. But hey, they did what was required of them. And if that was the only issue, then you should approve their application. But we all know it isn't the only issue. And based on the other highly compelling issues for numbers of people in our community, I humbly and respectfully request that you deny this application. And I leave you with this closing thought. Just because it can be done doesn't mean it should be done. Thank you.
Looking at the time, we're at the point we normally take a break. So I think we're going to do that. So we'll come back about 7:40. Normally, I tell the attorney not to speak to the witness, but I don't think it really works here. So we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Thank you.